James chapter 1. It says, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. As we continue to look inside of our hearts and minds and probe our collective imaginations, we have made the turn to ideas of faith. We are looking at faith for the remainder of this month as we lead up to the Easter celebration on March 31st. Last week, we considered the question, what if we had faith like never before, or faith that doesn't look back? What if we had faith like a tiny mustard seed? Jesus imagines that we could move mountains with a faith like that. In the face of giant challenges, our faith in God, who is bigger than our challenge, bigger than our issue, or bigger than any dilemma, proves to be beneficial in our plight. So let's say we have embodied a faith that is as small as a mustard seed. Let's declare that we have faith in a God that is bigger than our imagination. Let's say we have our trust not placed in ourselves, but in the only one worthy of receiving such trust. And what happens when that faith is tested? Then what? That's the place we find ourselves so often. That's the place we find so many of our brothers and sisters in the faith. Sometimes trite explanations about faith just don't cut it. You have the individual who is doing all the right things. They're saying all the right things. They're at church all the time. They're matching their deeds with their words and confessions about Jesus Christ. I have a friend who recently shared with me his struggle in this area. He grew up in South Central Los Angeles. He was involved in gang and drug life from an early age. As a teenager, because he was in and out of trouble, he along with his brothers, his family moved them to Minnesota, thinking that they could escape the violence and escape the crime and escape the drugs. But they picked up right where they left off in Minnesota, and he was arrested several times as a teenager and as a young adult. And after serving several stints in prison, he got out and began to grow up a little bit. Didn't shake everything, but he left the life in the streets and went to barber college and became a barber. Started doing well. Got married. And things seemed to be going well, and then it really took off. He committed to Jesus Christ and became a Christian. And that's when I met him. I met him when he had just became a Christian. And I just remember going to see him at the barbershop, and he was just so excited all the time, just always talking about God, had his barber tools right there on his little work area, but right there he had his Bible and he had some books he was reading. And every time I get into the chair, you know, when he found out I was a minister, he just was so happy I'd get there. And we just talk and talk about Jesus and talk about church and talk about God. And he was doing really well. He had a baby with his wife. Baby was born, if I'm not mistaken, about 2.5 months premature. And it was a pretty trying time because the child was gravely ill in the beginning. But he worked through that, and I could see his faith just really getting him through that. One day he's out mowing his lawn, and the police show up to his house and ask him, "Hey, are you this person?" He said, "Yeah." You have the right to remain silent, and they arrested him. Apparently, there was a parole violation from years ago, almost 10 years ago, in Minnesota. And they tracked him down to this area, and he had to go back and serve about 9 months for his parole violation. I worried about him. I worried that all the growth that he had just experience and all that excitement that he had about Jesus Christ was just going to go out the window. He found out when he was in prison that his wife was pregnant again, and it meant that he was going to be in prison while his second child with his wife was born. He got out of prison. He came back and started doing okay. Past couple of months, he's been struggling. He struggles to understand what's happening. He's struggling to see why his marriage is struggling right now. He's struggling to understand why his why his family is having financial problems. He's struggling to see his world that just last year was doing so well, but seemingly it's been turned upside down. And this after committing to Christ. Has anyone else here ever been there? Anyone else here know someone that's been there? I don't know about you, but I've been there. You think you're doing everything right. You think you're serving God. You think everything you're supposed to, you're doing, but yet you're faced with stuff. It can be a dark place. It can be a discouraging residence. And if we are truly honest, many of us have lived on that street. And if we haven't lived there, we found ourselves looking at folks like my friend, having very few answers that will get them to where they need to be. Very few answers to give them real hope. You know, one of the functions of Scripture is to give a testimony to the realities of life so that readers and listeners will find strength for the journey. It's the function that I want us to consider briefly this morning. This letter wrote by James is like most of the early letters written to early Christians. They were written as letters of encouragement, particularly to church contexts that dealt with the questions about their faith and those who experienced persecution and trouble because of their faith. Thus, James, our brother, says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds." It is as if James assumes that if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you will experience some trial. It might not be the same trial over and over again. It might not be the same trial as the person sitting right next to you in the audience today. It might not be the same trial that you had 5 years ago or 10 years ago, but you will experience something. One of the mistakes we make is assuming that when we place our faith and trust in God, that all becomes peaches and cream. Everything becomes calm and serene. Now, the minute we make declaration regarding our faith in God, we must be put on notice that the evil one has declared an all-out war on us once we make that declaration into Christ. And we best believe that once we declare that the Lord is our God, the evil one will stop at nothing to get you on his side or to turn you away from God. So in a twist of thinking, Brother James says, when your faith is tested, don't turn back to the evil one. But consider it joy, because, he writes, you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. The stuff that happens to us can develop perseverance or persistence or determination or grit. And this perseverance is a stimulant that will lead to our maturity or our growing up. I'm so glad that the Apostle Paul allowed his life to be an open book, so that we could literally learn about the role of faith and perseverance in the midst of trials. Listen to the Apostle Paul in his letter that he wrote to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians. He says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us all in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the suffering of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our suffering, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, and he will continue to deliver us." I'm so glad that Paul was not ashamed to say, "I have been through some stuff." I am so glad Paul was able to put things in proper perspective. You see, sometimes when we go through stuff, we're ashamed to admit that we're going through stuff. Sometimes when we're struggling in our families, we're ashamed to admit that we're struggling in our families. Sometimes when we're struggling with addiction, we're ashamed to admit that we're struggling in our addictions. Paul puts it in proper perspective to say, "I'm not ashamed to say we went through some stuff." It's not a shame that to say that we had some rocky times, but he put it in proper perspective, understanding that this was a learning tool for him to understand that it wasn't a time for him to rely on what he knew or to rely on his strength, but to rely on the strength of God. I'm so glad Paul was an open book. No one is excused from suffering or struggling. Not even Jesus himself was excused from suffering. And in our suffering, we are united with Christ and with Paul and with others with who struggle. And if there be any encouragement to draw from the collective experience of suffering, it is above all this: do not rely on ourselves, but rather rely on God. This is a faith that perseveres. Our ability to endure hardship and trouble rests with our willingness to rely on God, who we believe can work it out. What if we had a faith that persevered in the company of difficulty and trial? No one here is excused from experiencing difficulty, loss, or pain. And no one here is left without God's presence in the face of difficulty. And everyone here has been equipped with faith, both from an individual standpoint and the standpoint of community. I never met this guy, but I wish I had. His name is Ryan Woods. He was a graduate student at Rochester College, my alma mater. He's a youth minister at a church, Church of Christ in Oregon, state of Oregon. Everyone I have heard talk about this young man talks about his creative approach to ministry. Everyone I have heard talk about him talks about his incredible faith. And I've wondered why. And then I was blessed to see something that I want to share with you. Let's watch this.
Yeah, Jess and I have been together since, we've been dating or best friends since she was 15 and I was 16. So literally half our life.
I remember he was like the first boy I ever had a crush on. And he was like, I can marry that guy. And he didn't like me because I was the younger sister. And then he finally saw the light. I'm actually the only person he's ever dated.
Ryan and Jessica, you are the real deal. You are the true love story. You're an inspiration for what love should be. Thank you for showing that to all in our community and to me and my husband.
My name is Ryan Woods. I have a glioblastoma tumor in my spine. The doctors say I have 1 to 4 months to live. I think it might be longer.
You know, we always refer to it as our cancer, but...
Our doctors
are this, are that, yeah.
We're in this together, and we have very few memories or experiences that I've shared. So the idea of her doing any part of life without me, or me without her, is literally unimaginable because we've always done life together. It's weird. Andy Jane, you want to help me mix?
You want to come in and show me breakfast?
This is ridiculously shocking. We have no cancer history whatsoever in my family. The type of cancer I have is incredibly rare anyways. You know, I'm young, I'm healthy, I bike ride a lot. We walk everywhere up until I got cancer, skinny and scrawny. You know, I mean, in a healthy way. It's like we do everything you're supposed to do to be healthy and to not be sick and to not have cancer.
So he had surgery exactly a year ago today. When he came out of surgery, he was paralyzed from the waist down. And in December, he got really sick. Like, that was when I was like, oh, I think my husband's dying. It's just this huge awakening of, I think you need to start working, holding this reality. It might not happen, but at least being willing to go there.
I would much rather be the person dying than the people who are living, who are left behind. I think I have it easy. I'm not scared of dying whatsoever. I get to be reminded and remind other people that death isn't anything, you know? Death is just another part of our story, and death is terrible, but it's not something to be feared, you know?
Really, even though our story's hard, and our story has lots of pieces that are messy and tragic, just really tragic, I think there's just so many things that are beautiful, and there's so many things that are life-giving and not just about death. And the way people have interacted with us, and the way that people have loved us, and the way that we've grown through this, you know?
So, tonight, they're going to have a roast and toast of... So what they're going to do is everyone's going to come together, all our friends and family and stuff, and they're going to tell stories. And they're going to tell stories that are funny for the roast, and they're going to tell stories that are serious and nice for the toast.
We don't know how you want to.
To a fault. And actually, the thing is, I actually really believe it. Not artificially positive, but I see the world through rose-colored glasses.
You know, Ryan would occasionally come over and say, hey, you know, that was the extent of our relationship, you know, but it's kind of like a fungus. You know, it kind of grows on you. And, you know, in kind of a good way, you know, that it'd be like a parasite. Maybe that's a better term.
It's kind of like a tumor growth. one thing that my daughter constantly reminds me of, anytime that she starts to be sad or I'm sad about leaving her, she always reminds me, she's like, oh, but Daddy, you know, we're only going to be separate for a little while. She said, well, okay, maybe it'll be a long time because I've got a long life to live. She's like, I need to learn how to drive. I need to get married.
So I think what we've decided, he's doing birthday cards for several years.
So they'll get a birthday card at every birthday.
And then like a present when they're 16. And then he's just having a binder that we're, he's putting stories and memories of them. Like, what was it like when I was born? Things about him as a child. Things of just lots of memories and stories. And we're just going to have a binder for each of them.
Just going to give it to him. And then they can access it as they want, you know? So they're in control of how much they want to remember Dad and when they want to remember Dad. And, you know, I don't have many memories of when I was 4 years old. And so to think of my 4-year-old daughter and what she will or won't remember of me, it's a scary thought to think that I, in a lot of ways, would be a shadow in her memory.
Because they know how hard this is for you guys.
To have your daddy be sick and to have your daddy dying, they know how hard it is, and so they want to do a special party just for the kids.
I hope it's a special
occasion. It will probably. I would just invite anyone who watches this video to live into this reality that we're all dying. It's a cliche statement, but if you're the one, I'm actually dying, so I can say that. I can say cliche statements, right? We're all in the process of dying. So the question is, what kind of story are we going to live out as we're dying? I would just invite people to live out a beautiful story, to live out their life and make beautiful music, regardless of what kind of brokenness they have to deal with. And on our journey toward death, which is inevitable, we have the opportunity to let a beautiful story be told. And I think it's up to us to allow that story to become something beautiful.
And I hope that I get really embarrassed, you know, and, you know, if I don't die in 1 to 4 months, and, you know, you guys did all these things because I'm dying, and, you know, and then I don't die, that'd be awesome. I would love to feel awkward because of that.
A month after that video was created, Ryan passed away in November of last year. Upon learning of his passing, one of the professors at Rochester College, Mark Love, wrote this in response. I will have to learn, lean into the fact right now that Ryan taught me how to die. His honesty and transparency were amazing. The fact that he let us all share this journey, yet in a way that didn't seem gratuitous or sensational or pornographic, could only be pulled off by someone pure of heart. And Ryan died the way someone does who fully believes in the resurrection. Though he was dying, he was fully alive. He didn't crater to the powers of death. He lived in honest hope, not candy-eyed denial. I will have to lean into that, and I'll be okay. What if we had a faith that persevered even in the face of death? I love the way this young man taught his children that it was okay to die, that dying wasn't a case to lose faith. It happens to all of us. If you're in here and you're going through some stuff right now, you don't have to be ashamed, because it happens to all of us. If you're in here and you're suffering like from depression, you don't have to be ashamed, because it happens to all of us. If you're in here and you're a parent and you're having some struggles with your children, you don't have to be ashamed, because it happens to all of us. It's part of life, and it's not a reason to lose faith. See, faith is something that can cause us to persevere. What if we had faith that persevered? Maybe we would learn to cope with the difficulty and pain that's associated with loss? What if we had faith that persevered? Maybe we would learn how to die. What if we had faith that persevered? Maybe we would provide testimony to unbelievers or those who are weak in the belief department. Have you ever considered how your faith in a period of difficulty, how that can be instructional for a brother or sister or your child or spouse? William Barclay, a Scottish theologian, wrote, "Life makes many an attempt to take away our faith. Things happen to us and to others which baffle our understanding. Life has its problems to which there seems no solution, and its questions to which there seems no answer. Life has its dark places where there seems to be nothing to do but hold on. Faith is always a victory. The victory of the soul which tenaciously maintains its clutch on God. The rule of faith is not to cling to that which we expect and want to happen, but rather cling to God. Cling to God when expectations aren't met and when what we want will not be. Like our brother Ryan, who taught his family and friends how to die. Like my friend who I spoke of earlier, who still maintains a strong faith in God despite the increasing amount of challenges. And in the future, when stories are written about our church, I pray that observers will speak of a church that endured challenges and setbacks by faith. A faith that perseveres. Might we be hearers of the words that Jesus spoke to the church in Smyrna. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 8, to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, "These are the words of him who was the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your affliction and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. Be faithful, even to the point of death." And more accurately rendered, it should say, "Become faithful." Which is to say, we never really arrive. But we are always in a process of maturing where we are becoming more and more faithful. And God is saying, become faithful even to the point of death. And what awaits us is reward. We come out on the other side of the difficulty to receive reward. We come out on the other side of the conflict, of the issue, to receive reward. And may we, church, become faithful to him who has shown himself to be faithful to us in all circumstances. Or as Brother James writes in verse 12 of chapter 1, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." What if we had faith like a mustard seed? What if we had faith that persevered? Next week, as I shared last week, Brother David Myers will be here to share with us, what if we had faith that's bigger than the evidence? Just handed a note, and I don't mind sharing this right now, from my sister Sharon. Says, please pray for the church in Denver It's dark in here. I'm having a hard time reading. Please pray for the church in Denver that I can't read it. I'm sorry.
Please pray for the church in Denver that the brethren will be able to work together to the good of the church. Continue to pray for my son, Brendan. I feel Satan knows that he is trying to break free and is really beginning to attack him in new ways. And pray for me and others that are affected by the furlough. May I always remember who takes care of me. Pray that I become, that I don't become anxious.
Thanks for sharing that, Sharon. So we want to be in prayer for the church in Denver, that the brothers learn how to work together. Let's be in prayer for her son, Brendan, because Satan knows that he's trying to get it together, but he's going to keep after him. And pray for Sharon, who as a federal employee is suffering some setbacks from the furloughs that we're going to have. And Sharon, I would say to you, like I would say to everyone in closing, have faith and cling to God and not the outcomes we expect. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you so much for being the God who you are. We thank you so much for the testimony and witness of our spiritual ancestors, our brothers like Paul, who experienced stuff, but maintained his hope and his trust in you, God. And God, I pray that we would be encouraged by that story, and God, that we'd be encouraged by stories like Ryan Woods, and that we would be encouraged by stories of brothers and sisters in here right now who are going through stuff, yet they maintain a hope, a trust, a persevering faith in you. God, I pray that we wouldn't be ashamed to share our struggles, to share our moments of suffering, and that we wouldn't be ashamed to likewise share how faith in you is getting us through these periods. God, I pray that the collective testimony of this church would be one that will communicate to the world we live in that we have a hope that's higher than the highest highs, that we have a faith in you that goes beyond our imagination. And Father, I pray that through our faith, that through our collective faith, our story would lead others to invest in their story with you. God, we pray for the church in Denver, praying that they would move towards harmony and unity. Father, I pray that you continue to be with our brother Brendan, continue to bless him in a powerful, powerful way. And God, I pray that you would protect him from that evil one that is seeking to destroy him. And God, we are asking that you pray for everyone who's being affected by the circumstances of the society, whether it be at the job, whether it be at school, whether it be in our homes with our marriages or homes with our kids and parenting. God, we're asking you to step in. And Father, we don't cling to the expectation of the right results. We cling to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Salvation belongs to our God, a song that we will sing right now. If there's something that the church can help you with, praying for you, something else you want to share with the body, there's a story of faith that you want to share with the body, we are open to hearing that. If there's anything that we can do to minister to you, including you taking a confession of Christ and burying you in baptism, we can do that as well. So let's stand and let's sing the song.